Hello, you're listening to Talking Utter Slot, the podcast about having fun with small plastic things. I'm Nick. No, I'm not. I'm Scott.
Small plastic yes. thing appears to be a brain, whether it's yours or mine.
Yes. Sorry, definitely Scott. It'll see. I'll need to put a caption up so I know who I am. Anyway, hello, Nick.
Hello, Scott.
If you could use my name frequently so I remember who I am, that would be really handy. They warn about this for retired people, don't they? They start, forget the days of the week and all that, but I don't remember them saying you forget who you are. Anyway. Slots. Literally, big news before we started recording this morning was, to no great surprise at all, there's a Harry Potter Ford Anglia being released by Skeletric. So, in time for Slotfest, but we'll come back to that in a minute. So, and it's got a little Harry and a little Ron inside it. Now, I wonder, is it like Back to the Future, where they had multiple DeLoreans for different films? Are there multiple Anglias with different...
I don't think so. I think it's only in one film. Where it got stuck in the Whomping Willow, and then it ran off because it was annoyed at being stuck in the Whomping Willow, and then it turned up to save the day when they were surrounded by giant spiders.
That's the kind of car you want, That's not just getting you where you want to go, but it's warding off giant spiders. Anyway, I'm going to find it easy to resist, I have to say. And I presume
I'm struggling to think what goes with it.
What would you race with a Harry Potter? A steam train, I suppose, but the scales are kind of slightly out, aren't they? You could get
a Harry Potter steam train. And I've got the little 176 Ford Anglia to go with it. I can't think of another car. As Hagrid's motorbike and sidecar, please, Skeletric, do not revive the motorbike and sidecar as a concept.
Yeah, they definitely should if it's got Hagrid on it, though. That would be good. I'm all for slot cars with big hairy. Sorry, that's just me.
I suppose they could recycle the Olympic cycling sets and come up with a Skeletric Quidditch.
I don't think you're allowed to mention the unmentionable things you just mentioned, because somebody probably argued at a meeting that those were a good idea, they don't need that to be reminded of them. That was sort of, not surprised, because I think as soon as we were surprised in January that they showed the Anglia. But then the obvious thing was to do a Harry Potter one, so good. Hopefully it'll sell by the bucket load and they'll make lots of money and they can make other things that we want, which is the whole idea. But of course, it's a reminder, lest any of us have forgotten, which we haven't, because we're a little obsessed with slot cars, that part two of a three-part trilogy called the Skeletric Range Release 2024 is being unveiled in... as I speak, 10 days' time, not even that, I think 8 days' time at Gaydon, at the UK Slot Car Festival. And they've been quite good. I don't think we've seen any hints. I know you might know one or two things, but we haven't seen any, other than the Harry Potter Anglia, haven't seen any hints of what's going to be.
Well, without dropping Simon in the doo-doo, he did drop a very large hint on Slot Forum. February?
Okay.
It's there. For those people that use the forum, as to the identity of one of the reliveries and indeed slight rejigging of the body to achieve this car. So I'm excited about that. The front air dam is being changed. I think you know where we're going with this.
Is it a Dodge Charger?
It's not a Dodge Charger, no, it's a British car.
A Capri.
No, because I wouldn't be excited about that, because the Capri is much too long.
I knew that, you see. I was just beating you.
Just wanted me to have another go at Stirling for making such a mess of the Capri.
Just triggered Nick mentioning the Capri. Speaking of Capris, have you had an opportunity to watch Mammoth on BBC yet?
No, I haven't.
No? Oh, because he's got a beige Capri with a brown vinyl roof. It's just one of many 70s things which you'll love.
My friend Simon, fellow club member, with his lovely emporium for classic cars, has got a silver Mark I with a matte black bonnet at the moment, just come into stock. 34,000 miles on it, 1970.
Wow.
Tasty.
And how much? Any idea? Not that we're selling for them, but how much? I'm interested. The last thing I'd buy is a Capri.
I'd only like a Mark III, but it is pretty. I think it's a considerable amount of money, but actually quite affordable. I think because classic Fords did go berserk for years. I bought my Capri in 1999 for £1,000, and I sold it in 2003 for £3,000. It's the only car I've ever made money on. And it was recently on eBay in a much worse condition than I ever saw it, because it was mint when I had it, and it went for
$9,900. Wow.
So, yeah. Well, and that's a tatty example.
I'm hoping my now 22-year-old MR2 is going to do something similar. So that, otherwise, all these things I'm having done to it predicated on the fact that it's going to be worth a fortune soon. So now I have to be honest and say I'm not 100% sure I'm going to go to Gaydon, which sounds like I'm falling, you know, that's like sort of saying I'm not going to church on a Sunday or something. But I've recently bought a lot of slot cars, as regular listeners will know. I still haven't found somewhere to put them, so there's about 70 slot cars on the dining room table. So I kind of feel I don't need any more at the minute, which is an unusual position to be in. The thing that might tempt the SCX Bally cars, the new 131, or new liveries on the 131 and the Panda, but I'll probably get play safe and I'll get them delivered anyway. So I'm not 100% sure I'm going to go. I'll regret it as soon as I don't go, because there'll be lots of pictures of things. And I think you're in a similar sort of boat. You're not sure you're going either, are you?
Well, I've never been to it at Gaydon. I only ever went to the first one at Brooklands. It's always been a work weekend, and when it's not a work weekend, it's also both my eldest daughter's birthdays are the same period. So it's just not a good weekend. However, I might be compelled to go as a trader, because I'm slightly hard up at the moment. So some of my collection might need to go up on sale. If there's a table left, so I might make an inquiry to Sean. And then I need to sort of weep a little, because I've sold everything that I sort of can live without. So anything that goes now is going to be painful. But I'm looking here at 60 custom built slotted Porsche 956 and 962s and going, well, it's that or, you know, not make the rent next month. So might have to have a custom Porsche 956, 962 stand.
Well, we'll see. I'm sorry to hear that. Maybe.
I've got a job, but I won't get paid for said job until the end of June.
It's a gap. There's a gap. I think you should. Well, obviously you should do what you like, but be careful you don't do something you deeply mind. You're not paying the rent, it can be something you regret as well.
I regret that, because we rent the house from my mother-in-law. So.
Yes. I was about to say, would the landlord not give you a month's grace? But I won't ask that question now.
No, there's no point asking.
Complicated. Yeah, two of the most complicated relationships in anyone's life, a landlord and a mother-in-law, and you've somehow or other managed to make them one and the same. That's,
Just like to make one little compartment there for all those thoughts and feelings to be kept.
She doesn't listen to the podcast, does she, by any chance?
I really hope not.
Shall we move swiftly on? Anyway, before we move on...
It's way too late.
I mean, look, on the upside, for weeks now we've been having trouble recording things and I've had to chop bits out. Sod's law.
Well, for weeks now also,
fine.
People have been mentioning the door handle. So we can talk about my landlady and the door handle.
If there's not already a Twitter stream for the door handle, I'll be very disappointed. But...
Can we have a door handle on Twitter, Alistair Campbell saying ridiculous things.
Oh, mute him. Well, Alistair Campbell says nothing but ridiculous things. Anyway, don't go there yet. I think, obviously, there were some people who were noticing the handle was, shall we say, hanging by a shaky thread or shaky nail or screw.
Yeah.
And it's now no longer there. Has it been...
Well, I had to pack the screw holes with matchsticks, and the matchsticks have finally, after 9 years, given out. That's it's on the to-do list. I've got to clean the gutters out as well.
But in the meantime, you've painted how many slot cars? I'm not saying that's a bad choice. I'm just pointing out you've been busy.
Yeah, I know. it's priorities, isn't it? It's a question of priorities.
Right, anyway, so if you are going to Slot Festival, enjoy yourself, I'm sure you will. There's a million tracks, lots of cars for sale, possibly some of Nick's. And if you do go and see him selling his...
If you see them, please bid more than I'm asking for.
Yeah, don't haggle. Yeah.
And, we'll look forward to whatever the second half of the Scale Electric range for this year is.
Trilogy's a mixed bag, so there's always the Empire Strikes Back, which was better than the original. It's very real, and Aliens was better than Alien, maybe. But it's a rare thing for the second part to be better than the first, but let's hope they manage it.
Dune, apparently, the second part of Dune is much better than the first one.
I'm going to say it wouldn't be hard, but that...
I watched the first part the other night because I haven't, and I enjoyed it.
I watched it again recently because I went to the cinema to see it, and on first viewing I thought, this is all, it's like that kind of, there's a long bass note which you get in a movie to build up the tension because something's about to happen. It's just that happened for 2 hours in the whole movie because nothing really happened. So, I mean, I know Hans Zimmer has developed this kind of soundtrack technique of, one note sustained through an entire scene. This is an experiment where it's the whole movie. I don't know. It was okay, I suppose. I think the second time around I enjoyed it more because I kind of knew not to expect anything too whiz-bang. But I did feel compelled to go and watch John Carter on Mars afterwards because as a kind of sand-based sci-fi, I find John Carter much more fun. Yeah. It's on Disney.
And for those of you just tuning in, I'm Simon Mayo, and that's Mark Kermode.
Well, it's a good segue, sir. Good segue to us. We should, usually in the inspiration of Kermode and Mayo, should we turn to the slot car top 10? Dun, dun,
let's
dun,
do
fanfare,
that. And it is 10
trumpets.
This week.
It's 10 this week, so thanks once again to Sean at Pendle Slot Racing, who has supplied the information for the top 10. And we're going to do it as is traditional. We're going to go from 10 to 1. So, in at number 10, a new entry. And, interestingly, a kit. It's the TA71 Ford Mustang V2 Hoonigan, which I take to be a Kenny Brock thing.
Yes.
Yes, I thought you'd be excited because you like kits. Guess what's at number 9? This is a bit like an old Grand Prix grid where things appear in pairs. Let me give you a hint there.
It's a bit like this year's Grand Prix grid, isn't it? I mean, you've got 5 teams in the top 10 in qualifying, the same 5 teams at the end of the race. And I think it's looking a bit that way this week, isn't it? So what's number 9?
Number 9 is also a new, is another TA71. It's a Ford F-150 Hoonie truck, or Hoon truck, I'm not sure, but there's an E in them, which is another kit. So two kits in the bottom end of the top 10. So you I think
I'm glad
you
see them there.
You're inspiring.
Hopefully so. I think possibly Mr. Block and his many, many videos of wheel spinning have maybe had an influence there. I'm glad to see TO71s there. I'm hoping that Sean is going to restock some of the ones that are out of stock at the moment, because I'm six cars away from contentment, as we know. And two of those are TA71 kits, which are not in stock. And okay, I haven't got any money at the moment, but when I do, I would like to know that I can buy them from Sean, because it's an awful lot cheaper than ordering them direct from TA71, let me tell you. So, yeah, that's the plan. Because my Miami Vice collection can be completed, because they do the Ferrari Daytona Spider and they do the Ferrari Testarossa. So those are two of my six cars to be content.
I think it's good that you never quite complete it, though, because if you complete the thing, you know, there's just, what are you going to do? You've got something to strive for, I think. Okay, so that's hard to argue.
Come on.
Okay, back to the chart. Number eight, down four places, number four. I can do mental arithmetic this week. It's Ford XY, which is the Aussie import. And can you guess what's at number seven, also down four from number three?
Where are we at now? We've had the Aston Martins, so we're now the McLarens, I suppose. So it must be a matching pair.
It is. It's the Skeletrix Holden Torana, also an import. So second week in the top 10, to use the jargon.
I have the strongest suspicion that not many of those are going to be raced. I think they're going into hordes.
Oh. What, just because they're special, or because why do you think that is the most?
Yeah, I think that they're investment pieces, aren't they?
Oh, that's a horrible thing. Toys are to be played with, and at the end of the day, they're toy cars. But however, anyway, you buy the car, you do with it what you like. I don't mind. But anyway, interesting to see. Again, I said last week, these things are popular. Why doesn't Skeletrix just make them part of the regular release? Answers on a postcard to Margate. Anyway, at number six, was number two. I'll let you do the math on that one. It's also down four. It's a slotted Porsche 956 Cannon.
Yeah, which is, fun fact, the, I think, 17th Seeker 09 Porsche 956 Hightail. It's called the KH. It's not a short tail. It's the same length as a long tail. Yeah.
I know these. But anyway, people were very impressed with your knowledge, as ever they are. Every time in the comments every week, Nick knows a lot about insert subject that you've waxed lyrical on. Obviously, you know a lot about 956s.
That's because I wrote a book about it. I wrote a book.
Is it? Maybe we should do the audiobook version. No, maybe we should. Anyway, part of the Fireside Stories. We should stem the Fireside Stories. At number five, down four. Those are paying attention, know there's a whole load of things down four, and we've only got four to go, which tells you there's four new things at the top. At number five, down four, last week's number one, the Polycar BRM P153, the pretty green one with the orange bits.
Which I own.
Well, you contributed to making it. You have bought one.
Well, no, because I didn't buy it from Pendle. I know.
Is that just you shopping around what's it?
I bought it from Alec at Dual Circuits, because he's at our club, and
fair enough. Fair enough. Number four, and again, the pairs thing goes on. So at number four, Avant Slot Nissan 240 RS RAC Rally 1985, which I think is the mostly white Castrol livery Terry Cavey car.
Yes.
So a Brit driving. I'm tempted, but I'm holding out for a pond full Nissan red, white, blue livery option.
Yeah. I'm very tempted by the Castrol one. Terry KB was someone I sort of grew up around. He's from Toaster, the nearest town to my little village. And with my parents being Silverstone people, he was also based at Silverstone most of the time. He was around and about. Young Terry. So, a big fan of Mr. KB. And, of course, quite a good exponent of the Chevette as well. So, yet more reason for a Chevette to be on somebody's to-do list in 2025, because you can have a nice Terry KB version. I really like a Tony Pond, which means probably they'll have to do a new interior, because it would have to be right-hand drive, wouldn't it, to be a Tony Pond car?
Well, you know, there are certain things I'm happy to forgive, and that's all right. But I know Phil down in Abergavenny would be apoplectic if they had him on the wrong side, because he converts all his electric escorts. He converts to the right way around. As long as it's got a driver and a co-driver, I'm cool with all of that. But just going, you're talking about if someone were to do a Chevette, would it please be SCX? Please SCX, do a Chevette, because it would go along with the Sunbeam and the Escort and everything. So I want it to be that kind of spec.
I'm not sure there's enough Spanish Chevettes in history for them to
There are none, but that's not the point. You know, they would be that if I'm wishing, I don't have to take such practicalities as the company that makes it selling them into consideration. Anyway,
what we need
back to
is for Carlos Sainz to do a Legends event in a Chevette. That way they can make that one and sell billions across Spain, and then they can do all the other liveries.
Genius.
So,
absolutely.
Dear
this is why
please will you do the Legends event in a Chevette?
And we need to think of a good livery, you know, a sort of Gulf, obviously. No. A Gulf livery Chevette. At number three is an advanced lot Nissan 240 RS. This time it's the Ivory Coast livery, 1986, so a year after. Group B cars, Group B rear wheel drive cars. Advanced Lot did the Manta. They've got a couple of others in the pipeline, so it's a good thing.
They've got the Ferrari, which in Mr. Barry's hands is doing very well in 80s, 90s in Slot Rally GB. So, yeah.
But they are also quite... the Ferrari, I think, is maybe a bit wide, but I think the Nissan's pretty accurate, isn't it? It looks...
Well, funnily enough, speaking to Mr. Barry about the car, because he was the first person I knew who bought one, he said it was actually a little bit wide for some of the stages. He's running the Ferrari quite okay, but the Datsun is a hefty old thing.
Okay. Well, no, I haven't seen one in the plastic as yet. Right, at number... But rally cars, sorry, we should move on. I know some people say, oh my God, these guys talk about slot rally a lot. Two slot rally cars at number three and number four. At number two, another new entry. And it's Thunderslot McLaren M6B, the Las Vegas livery, which I can't call to mind. Not the green one, I think, is that what they're known. Because, and maybe we'll see, at number one is a Thunderslot McLaren M6B, the Bridgehampton, which is the green one. Can-Am cars. Not a new moulding, I don't think, is it? I haven't got a Thunderslot. I've got one of the Ferraris on order, so that'll be my first one when it comes. But the brief time I had running one of a friend's, very nice, very quick, very smooth, lovely finish, very nice slot cars. So I'm not surprised, but Can-Ams...
Yeah, I haven't really bought into the Thunderslot thing. When they first came out, one of the guys at the club brought one of the T70s, and it wasn't as quick as the slotted GT40s, which are ruling the roost on our track. But then again, it's our track, so no brakes, bit bumpy, 15 volts. That seems to work if you've got slotted cars. In some lanes. In other lanes, it's 18. And one lane, it's 12. So, yeah, it's... We are looking at the power supply and how to remedy it. But apparently DS boxes don't exist anymore or something. I don't know. Well, we'll talk to Sean at Gaydon, possibly.
Well, good luck with that. I think that's where you could buy a whole load of Polycar sets, and then you get lots of track, which you need, and lots of power, variable voltage. On nostalgia nights, you can change the voltage per lane if you wanted to. Right, so number well done, Thunderslot. One and two in the chart. I've had Slot up there, number two. Thanks again to Sean at Pendle for compiling the list. This is the third week we've done, so I haven't really started to kind of keep a trend, but it's interesting to see new stuff, funnily enough, sells very quickly. But stuff that are re-entries, and there are kind of things which linger around, those Slotits and the Australian Holdens being the first ones. Be interesting to see how it happens through Slot Festival and the new announcements from Skeletric.
I hope something really mad pops up that people just want to grab when it's there.
Mad as in mad Lady Penelope mad?
Just something unexpected. Yeah, possibly.
Okay.
Maybe if they sort of knock a tenner off the price of Lady Penelope. I see all Hornbeak products across the trio of brands have got 15% off this week if you order from them.
Yep.
So that could be producing some surprises.
Well, only if they buy them through Pendle. Since Sean supplies the data, that's where we get the sales data from.
True, true. Well, I'm sure Sean's... Maybe there's a stack of blue box Scale Extric Sport Astra DTMs that he can wheel out, because I can vouch for how splendid those are. I'd love to see those back in the top 10. Every slot car dealer, I'm pretty sure, has got a mountain of blue box Scale Extric Sport cars that they can just wheel out. Be fine. Because the limited edition of 5,000. Which...
That I suspect there's a lot of them. As you said, a lot of them probably never came out of the boxes. A lot of them are broken because they did come out of the boxes. And then there's a relative few which get run. I haven't run that one for a while. What I did, I was going to segue into you being at the track because you talked clubs things, but I shall come back to the fact that I've been running old stuff because I got some new tyres. So that's new tyres on old cars. Makes lots of nostalgic fast fun. There's nearly a slogan there. Anyway, tell me about what you were running at the club, because you did quite well, you confessed earlier.
I did. I got my first 100 point score of the year 2024. Nothing particularly unusual. The new my new SCX Audi A5, which was ferreted out of Bournemouth by you. Thank you very much. That car did very well. I didn't put any weight in it. It runs perfectly nicely. But if you are on the limit, it does tend to bounce out. The guide bounces out. So I do need a bit of weight in the front with that. My Ferrari F40 Polycar with a bit of weight in the front this week, that was magic. Magic it was. I scored the same with it. I had three wins and a second place. But this time the second place was because of a little bit of argy-bargy with one of those MR slot car McLarens, rather than just bouncing out of the slot like it did last week. And then everything else sort of, just ran nicely. So it was between me and Graham at the end. And Graham was 5 points behind, I think. So he does his thing. He's like Fangio, you see, Graham. He lets you get on there and wear yourself out, and then in the closing stages, he's relentless. That's his approach.
Okay, well, that's jolly good. That's good to know. I also got one of those SCX Audis, and I took it out of the box, and I did 10 laps because my timer is set to 10 laps, and I was amazed at how smooth and quick and, this all the amazed roll. In the past, SCX didn't always come with straight axles, did they? So it's always nice when you get one that does. And so it was blasting around my track, and I don't think I came off. But as soon as I stopped, I noticed I was missing a wing mirror. Now, the wing mirrors on that Audi are bright, bright red and quite big for wing mirrors. So I thought, oh, I'll just have a quick glance around the track. It must be lying around somewhere. Can I find it? Can I hell? So it's very annoying. I'm not 100% sure it was on when I took it out of the box, but I think it was. Right. And I've only, you know, it's only been, you know, by the track, out the box, on the track, took the magnet off, but I don't have to take it apart to do that. So anyway, so I shall find, at one point, I shall find a red plastic piece of thing going, what's that? Oh, it's the Audi thing. But it's really annoying. Brand new car. Admittedly, I didn't pay very much for it, but that's not the point. And so I've lost a thing. Anyway, there you go. Talking of Audis, I shall segue, if I may, into something which I'm going to slide in from the side. Not that the camera can pick it up terribly well. It's the new slotted Audi R8 in what we should call the old Works Rally livery, which presses a lot of my buttons, that livery. So although I don't particularly like this car, and I'm not particularly fond of Audis per se, I didn't have one of these, and the completist in me, and many listeners may know this, you know, so I end up buying slot cars because I think I've got lots of other GT3s. I haven't got that kind of GT3. I need one of those. It's a sort of as if I'm compiling an entry list for the perfect race for nobody's satisfaction but my own. Anyway, and so as soon as this livery was announced, I thought, yeah, I'm going to have that one. And I know we talk about detail and performance and can you have one and not the other and what's the focus? I have to say, this is a reminder that you can have both. This thing runs really nicely. I took the magnet out, and that was the only thing I did. But the detail is, I mean, it won't show up on the camera, but inside the air vent on the bonnet, so there is molded. I mean, it could just be painted black, and in some models it wouldn't even be that. There's a molded radiator, and there's a fan, and there's a sort of detail on it, and you can barely see it. Detail on the wheels is good. You need some decent pictures to see it, but a lot of detail on a very high performance, from my mind, a high performance car. I'm sure there are people who would tweak it 10 times to make it even faster, but absolutely wonderful. So I'm very chuffed with that. But then, of course, you know, I could say slot car of the year, but as you know, the rule is slot car of the year is always the most recently purchased slot car. So that's the one.
Well, I do remember listening to Talking Out of Slot last year when I was but a listener. I was driving across Spain, I think, and it was mentioned in the conversation that this new R8 was, Maurizio had said something about it being, you know, sort of done with the manufacturer and to their blueprints sort of thing. So it clearly that's paid off.
It's a thing of fun. Yeah, I mean, it's just a lovely, lovely model, and it goes beautifully. It's got that lovely thing about just being smooth on the track, you know, and polycar can be quite revealing of any vibrations because it's quite a hard surface. But yeah, great. Anyway, lovely stuff. So that's a little reverie there about my new expensive. When I bought all the cars from Bournemouth, and the question was, would I ever pay full price for a slot car ever again? Wasn't much of a question because the answer was obviously yes. But it's interesting that the feeling of, you know, this cost 10 times what a lot of the other ones did. And but it's still, the joy is still there, the joy of small things, and long may it continue.
Well, I think a lot of people won't have to pay full price for quite some time, because I gather that the hoard, when it was uncovered, measured 17,000 cars.
That's even more than I knew, 17,000.
And well, it's now down to 1,700. So yeah, it's going to be the market is going to be somewhat awash with noughties era releases for some time to come.
Yeah, I mean, and then of course this will wash through. We'll see at swap meets, not just people who are selling on what they've just recently bought. I'm saying nothing, but people who bought it to play with it and then get bored, sell it on, or whatever. So there's going to be, these things are going to be washing through in waves. And that's no bad thing. I think they're all, those old Ninko cars, you know, there's a whole load of stuff in there. Absolutely mind.
It could bring about the sort of tumble in value seen by models of yesteryear, which now go for £1 each, when even the legendary Lipton's tea with the royal crest, which shouldn't have been on there, so that went used to go for hundreds of pounds. Yeah, same price as everything else now, because everyone saw how much models of yesteryear were going for and fished them out of the attic, and now they're worth pennies. Which is good, well, also, actually, I think, if you want to buy cars to race them, because it means you have to spend so much money.
It is, it is. It's not good if you're relying on it as your pension when you want to sell them. No, that's as some for car. But anyway, what else was I going? There was something else. What else did we say we were going to talk about? I can't remember now. We've done top 10. We've done my new Audi. Oh, tyres. Yes, I bought lots of replacement tyres for my Carrera cars. Found a German supplier on eBay. R&S Rennbahnen, I think you say it. Postage is quite a lot, but tyres are cheap. I bought lots of tyres. And the postage is combined, right. So that made sense. So rejuvenated Carrera Can-Am cars. Group 5 cars now lap very consistently. It's lovely. And even my old Michael Schumacher F2004, which was at the time, a really pretty delicate Carrera. I don't think they'd done many quite as... Their old Formula 1 cars were very sturdy. I remember buying that in Wonderland Models in Edinburgh, because I was on a trip to Edinburgh for work or something. So it must have been 2005, I'm guessing. So that car, the tyres went rock hard. Looked very pretty, but the tyres went rock hard. Now, magnet out, it laps beautifully. So that inspired me to dig out a whole load of other early noughties Formula 1 cars and put new tyres on them. So it's just been good fun. They make the track seem bigger because they're so small and thin. Yeah. You've been running big Can-Am cars, you suddenly put these little slim Formula 1 things on it. It's really good. So that's been my week. Still haven't taken the track down, still haven't changed the layout. All these things should be. Still haven't soldered all the loose wires on a table full of cars. But it'd be boring if I did all that. So before we went, anything else you want to cover before we wind up?
I think we're there, really. I think we're done. I mean, Harry Potter, a top 10. What else do you want from a show? Dang it.
Will Harry Potter be number one next week? Or will it be this beautiful Audi? Tune in to find out.
Ooh.
Anyway, Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. And if you do go to Gaydon, have fun. If you see us there, say hello. And all that good stuff. Have a good time. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.